You've given the Archdiocese of Santa Fe and the Diocese of Gallup and Las Cruces until October 5th to produce records on dozens of priests accused of sexually abusing children. What kinds of information does your office already have on these priests, and what are you hoping to find?
Well, we began an investigation March of 2016 on specific bad acts related to individual priests. We quickly realized that the magnitude of the problem really needed to be addressed through a full-scale review of the diocese in New Mexico.
Specifically, what kinds of records are you hoping to obtain?
Well, financial records, personnel records, starting from top to bottom, I need to gauge a level of not only how much the cover-up played a role in this tragedy, but more importantly, truly getting a sense of the victims. The numbers just don't add up right now. So really, the review is necessary. We were requesting vast amount of documentation to really gain an understanding from 1950 to the current state of affairs. 1950, for me, is a very safe starting point to really decide and evaluate the level of disclosure or lack of disclosure that the church engaged in moving forward. Secondly, the lack of law enforcement investigations generationally for me is very disturbing. And so I wanted to make sure that I started with a sample that is not only concrete, but really gives me a full gauge of multi-generational abuse that clearly has been confirmed. And to finally have the church respond responsively is a good sign. I'm cautiously optimistic, but their immediate responses to us in fully cooperating, I think, sends a message that even the church understands the level of disclosure that's required now. And yes, I am measuring when I say the numbers don't add up. We studied the amount of civil disclosures through litigation and lawsuits, and I believe there are many more families that have been impacted negatively.
The majority of the sexual abuse cases that could be uncovered by this investigation likely happened many years ago, too long ago for criminal prosecutions.
That's correct. One of the tragedies that really needs to be truthfully told moving forward for lawmakers, we have to have a much more honest conversation, not just about the cover-up, but also the lack of checks and balances and accountability from other institutions that should have played a more active role in intervention. One of the things that we have transformed the AG's office in New Mexico is we know that speed saves lives. And so anytime an organization or an agency wants to make excuses for not intervening and saving the life of a child, that is where we start our critical analysis. And more importantly, statute of limitations played a dramatic role in the cover-up. But right now, yes, most of the conduct that we are going to be investigating, most of the disclosure and analysis probably will lead us to very limited criminal remedies. But that doesn't mean I can't have an honest conversation with the legislature about reopening up civil statute of limitations to maybe create a treatment fund or some kind of public health funds necessary so that victim families can draw these funds down. I think it's absurd that you can file a uranium claim, but you can't file a treatment claim if you've somehow been harmed by the church. These are serious conversations and reforms that are not on the table at this point, but I think if we can put together a comprehensive report, these may be some of the recommendations that we come forward with.
So looking at a civil statute of limitations change, looking at remedies and funds, is there anything else you hope to accomplish with this investigation?
I'm hoping that this model of disclosure can be used by other attorneys general across the country. One of the things that's amazing about our approach is that we are going directly to the source, and we want full analysis, disclosure, and transparency. And this is why we are contacting all three of our dioceses directly. And I think that's a real national model that could take off rather than individually investigating priest cases.
Your office is commanding the church to turn over these records on accused priests, which, if they comply, would be an unprecedented level of transparency. And attorneys and advocates for abuse survivors have also called upon you to enlist a grand jury, like the one in Pennsylvania that worked for 2 years and recently released a massive report. Will you impanel a grand jury here, and what would it have the power to do, if so?
I believe there may be a grand jury impaneled for the clergy abuse system, but right now I believe the cover-up is probably too widespread, and I want to come out first with some type of report before we trigger additional criminal resources, even though my criminal investigators right now are engaged in this investigation.
I think in the Pennsylvania case, there was something to the idea that these grand jury members were just citizens, just the peers of everyone else that they were informing. And I think something about that was powerful in a way. Why not impanel a grand jury as a sort of dual approach at the same time you have your investigative team working on this?
I'm not saying we won't impanel a grand jury. What I'm saying is that I believe the level of abuse is so horrific that you do not want to give direction to your law enforcement unit by itself or impanel a grand jury with limited information. We are starting very broadly, much larger than even a grand jury would be focused on if they were impaneled today. And so, for instance, like the Las Cruces Diocese has never had a disclosure. And so we want to make sure that we cover all four corners of the state. Right now, this will be probably the largest request for information at the national level. And the only reason that we're starting at the top is because the church has expressed a real commitment to transparency. So we're testing this out from our law enforcement organization directly to the diocese directly. And so we'll see if it's successful, and I will promptly report back to the general public. If we're unsuccessful, we will immediately use other legal tools to seek this type of information.
What are your plans for keeping the public updated? I mean, October 5th will come around. Presumably, you'll get a bunch of records from church officials. What happens then?
So we're very interactive. I've assigned victim advocates. We have a link on nmag.gov right now where victim families can contact us, and we will give them full updates as to the progress of production of information and also our communications. As soon as communications either improve or break down with the church, we will directly update what I consider our New Mexico families. We should keep them completely transparently updated, which is why you have before you not only our letters, but our specific documentation requests so that families can gain confidence, at least so that they know what we're reviewing and what we're attempting to engage in.
Elsewhere in the country, many priests who were accused of sexual misconduct were sent to New Mexico to church-run treatment centers, and they may have had contact with children here. Are you seeking information about those priests who didn't have official assignments in New Mexico but spent time here? Are you seeking that information as well?
Yes, I want to gain an understanding of really the culture within the church. And so to really understand that, you need to understand them as leaders and as employees. For us to really gain an understanding of how widespread the abuse was in church, in these church organizations, I want to even measure how they defined these incidents. And so we're going top to bottom in a full-scale review, because there may be things to criminal investigators where you're able to hide criminal activity, but an investigator won't be trained on how to truly investigate that till they truly understand the internal organization, because it may be masked as other civil matters. So we're going to do a complete review of the organization here in New Mexico.
And that was something we saw in the Pennsylvania report, where they sort of learned what the quote-unquote playbook would have been for covering these up. And so the church using terms like sick leave or retirement when that really was code for something else. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. And so we may find nuances within New Mexico that also need to be thoroughly vetted and investigated. And so I think this is a national crisis, and so I've assembled a multidisciplinary team of both civil litigators, criminal investigators, law enforcement, to really be prepared to analyze this type of information, because child abuse has certain dynamics that are easy to mask. Children underreport. Children are very responsive to authorities. There was already a lack of law enforcement intervention. There absolutely was a lack of investigation. So you could have clergy abuse that has never even been uncovered at this point. And so civil litigation will not uncover it, and a traditional criminal investigation will not uncover it the way we want a true deep dive. And if you listen to the Pope's words, and if you listen to faith leaders, they understand now that they have to have a full review independently and to have a true transparent disclosure to truly rebuild trust. And I think this is a step in the right direction.
The Catholic Church is beloved to many in New Mexico, deeply embedded in our state's culture. The church is also historically secretive about their internal affairs. So how can your office push for protection for children now and into the future when it comes to such a powerful institution? And what lasting changes would you like to see?
Well, the first is that we're using the rule of law on an organization that lives off of trust. And I'm a former altar boy and a Santa Clara member of one of the most rural church communities in northern New Mexico. So I totally understand the conflict and the mixed feelings that New Mexicans have about this type of investigation. I can speak personally, though, that parishioners want this level of disclosure and transparency. Many of these families that are now coming to us who were engaged in civil litigation and may have settled these lawsuits, I'm also very critical of the civil bar in New Mexico that took settlements and kept them confidential and then never reported key facts to law enforcement. That's another black eye that we'll be exploring as this investigation proceeds. And so confidentiality, secrecy, our organization is prepared to handle that and balance those interests because we have to do that as well when we prosecute and investigate these cases. But one thing that I will have very little patience for is not speaking the truth in terms of where all the failures were. Yes, the church covered up and failed. But we're also going to use a lot of this documentation to investigate the environment that was surrounding the church.
And by the environment surrounding, you mean government entities, civil society, culture?
Absolutely. There were a lot of people in positions of authority and power that had special roles. Now, the law needs to evolve. So now this is why I'm pushing for if you abuse a child as a teacher or as a priest, you should carry a higher penalty because you have their trust. But I also think there was a legal environment around and a political environment. Turning a blind eye may have been something that also just wasn't respectively occurring within the church. It was occurring outside in these environments. And these are the conversations that I'm having with these 40 and 50-year-old victims that are very angry with the system. They don't trust the system. There were local DAs that got letters in the 80s and 90s. Where are those letters today? So when we investigate within the church, I think we're going to find leads that lead to other areas of analysis. We have to come clean. We truly have to come clean as a state. Why was New Mexico allowed to be a dumping ground? Was it just the church within? Or were there other legal institutions that were dramatically failing and or legal professionals that need to have an honest conversation about church abuse and clergy abuse in New Mexico?
Since the Pennsylvania grand jury report was released, the Pennsylvania Attorney General's office has reportedly received more than 800 calls to their clergy abuse hotline. What resources are you putting into place to help families and survivors whose memories may be triggered by these ongoing revelations here in New Mexico?
We've assigned victim advocates who are mental health experts who can sit with these families. I'm also willing to meet and sit with these families in New Mexico. And I do think this will be a community engagement as we move forward. And then I guess the final thing, the New Mexico population itself, I believe, is in a mental health crisis for various reasons. We've had the behavioral health system destroyed in New Mexico. Now I'm seeing more than ever families want the church to come clean, but also these families need multi-generational support moving forward. And I don't think that the legislature is even aware of the public health dollars that are needed to truly fund mental health services. For instance, I don't think small towns in northern New Mexico that have a church and a gas station and one sheriff officer should somehow be responsible for ensuring that there are mental health professionals around, considering that we have high suicide levels, high drug abuse, high poverty. Is the Department of Health actively engaged in child abuse recovery? I can tell you right now, people have to go to a phone book and get a civil lawyer and sue the church to get any type of remedy. And we have to be more proactive than that. And this is why I want to engage into a serious conversation with lawmakers. If you want to get involved in delivering justice for a large population of your community, setting aside mental health dollars without having them prove up a claim might be a valuable remedy that comes out of this investigation.
Some people out there are going to say, look, this is the church's issue. They should be offering up those mental health dollars, not the State Department of Health. I mean, what's your response to something like that?
You can pay now or you can pay later. Many of these individuals that don't receive this treatment are going to result in further tragedy. Many of them have taken their own lives. Many of them can't be productive employees. And the only thing that we are asking them to go do is to go to handle it themselves. So I think there's a win-win. I do believe the church has an obligation to fund this treatment dollars or match these dollars. But I also think that there will be many lawmakers that share the same constituencies that will see a valuable return on investment and just quite haven't been asked to fund mental health this way. But I'm looking forward to that much deeper conversation with lawmakers.
Your letters to the three church leaders in New Mexico name certain priests for which you're demanding church records, but you didn't include some priests that the Archdiocese of Santa Fe has already acknowledged have been accused of abuse. Those names you left out are Armando Martinez, Clive Lynn, Humbertus Lohm, Irving Clister, James Kemper, Lure Labreche, Luis Martinez, Philip Martin or Philip Peralta, and Robert Kirsch. Why weren't these priests included in your demand, and will you be requesting records on them as well?
Yes, we have actually various lists of names of priests, and so part of this is going to be reconciling. So there will be different names on different lists. But the way we also styled the demand for a request for information is I'm confident that we will gather information of all priests, priests that had no allegations and priests that had allegations and that were handled either inappropriately or appropriately. So I'm confident that we'll start broad enough to scoop up any discrepancies that might exist in these various lists.
Attorney General Hector Balderas, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.